peak outdated, Kino overrated, Shonen activated. Welcome to Shonen Showdown, where we are dedicated to making your Shonen brain rot worse. I am the Raggedy Doctor, and I know that top 10 lists are basic and trite, but guess what? Just like Shonen, they're a ton of fun. Speaking of basic but fun, how's it going, Lady Emery?
I'm living the dream. We are gonna get basic as fuck today, but that's just the Shonen way, isn't it? And hey, if you love our list that we put together today and want to give us your top hype moment, you can do so over at www.aadiscord.com. Click that link, or I shouldn't say click, but go to that link and come join the Discord. We're a ton of fun. We don't bite much. And, you know, even if I break your kneecaps a little bit, Brady's here to put them all back together again. But anyways, I think we should get right to it because I can't wait to talk about these moments with you.
That's right. In case it wasn't abundantly clear, we are talking not just any top 10 list, not just any top 10 shonen list, but the Shonen Showdown top 10 hype shonen moments list. And I'm going to throw it to you, Emery, to tell the folks what do we mean when we say hype?
We're talking those let's go, the heart-pounding action moments. I know that when people think hype, they might think like tear jerkers or like emotions. We may get to those one day. And we can always talk about some of the best episodes of Shonen. And it's going to be One Piece episode 1015. But that's not today. Today is the let's go, heart-going, hard-boiled moments.
This is the Shonen version of that Doki Doki.
Yes, exactly right. Couldn't have said it better. Spoilers ahead. I cannot reiterate it. We'll do our best to tell you when in the series these moments are falling, but just we don't want to spoil you. So if there's a show you've been meaning to get to or you don't want to be spoiled, just jump ahead about 5 minutes.
Yeah, and definitely jump ahead about 5 minutes for this part because we're going to skip or pre-start our list with our own personal One Piece hype moments because, one, if we just made this as a general top 10 list, One Piece would be, you know, 10 through 1, so we want to give every other show its chance. And two, we want to just talk about, you know, some of our favorite moments from one of our favorite shows. And if you don't mind, I'm going to start with my favorite hype moment from One Piece. So anyone who's still catching up to One Piece, please skip ahead because my moment comes from the Enies Lobby arc of One Piece. And specifically when our captain, Monkey D. Luffy, stands there at the precipice of Enies Lobby and says to his comrades, says, "Soji King, shoot down that flag." And for those of you who've seen the moment, you know it's when he is confronting Robin about how she, you know, it's right before the big I want to live moment, very, very emotional. And it's just, he's getting berated.
All the feels.
You know, they're getting berated of, you're challenging the world government. Do you know what this flag symbolizes? The whole world is going to come after you. And he does not give a damn. He cares about his friends.
It's so good. I'm glad you picked this moment. And I think what's great is it balances some humor at the beginning. So when it ramps you into that sort of action moment, it's so worth it because he's just saying, that's dumb. You should live. Do you want to live? Like, I'm just going to bring you along for this ride. And I love that you picked this one.
It's just too good. I mean, what's yours? What is your favorite sort of hype One Piece moment, your most hypest of One Piece moments?
This was the moment because I obviously got pulled into One Piece thanks to, you know, you and being our cult leader and pulling me in here. But I think this is the moment where it really took off for me. And it's during the Sabu Odi arc. Oh my gosh, I can never say it right.
It's a hard one.
It is. And shockingly, it's my favorite arc. A lot of people think like Marineford would be my favorite or some other like the Wano arc would be my favorite. No, it's this one. And it's solely for this moment. It is when Luffy marches up to a celestial dragon who are these people who are the richest of the rich. They are kind of in charge of the government. And it's another I don't give a fuck moment. And he punches punches this guy so hard that I say he punches him back into the manga. It goes black and white, slams into him, hits a wall. I was out of my seat. Let's go. It was such a wonderful moment. I love it.
It's great. It's one of those moments that just you're like, it gives you an idea of what the series is about truly at its core too. And there's so many moments we could have picked, but it's such an easy choice to pick that one. I would agree wholeheartedly.
So good. But yeah
now that we've gotten the more obvious Shonen Showdown talking points out of the way, we're going to get into the actual top 10 list. So again, we'll hit you with each of the shows. That way you know to skip ahead if you don't want to get spoiled. But the first one, the number 10 pick on our list, is from Kuroko no Basket, Season 2, Episode 17, starting with some hype sports shonen action. This is very specifically when Kagami enters the zone. And now, Emery, I know you are not the wisest up on this show.
So lay it on me. Why should I watch this show? Why is this your hype moment?
So for those who don't know, Kuroko no Basket is, it's a basketball anime, but it's a battle shonen where basketball is basically the magic system is how I like to think about it. And this specific game is our heroes from Seirin High versus Toho Academy, who previously beat them. So this is a rematch after they got soundly beaten by... specifically Aomine, one of the characters on the other team who's from the Generation of Miracles, one of like the main kind of antagonistic forces throughout the show are the different members of this Generation of Miracles. And he's just so good. He does these crazy shots where he's like jumping past the basket, throwing the ball behind him, and it goes, it's just utter nonsense. And what happens is, in the rematch, they start to push and actually are doing well against this team. And then Aomine enters what's called the zone. And it's represented by like lightning flashes through his eyes and he becomes even more unstoppable. And it's a little ridiculous. But throughout this whole time, the main character Kagami is sitting there going, no, I'm sick of losing. I can't lose. I'm sick of my friends getting let down. And you feel that sort of anxiety building as you watch this guy just continually, literally dunk on his friends. And then there's this one shot where he's going with the ball, the other guy, Aomine, and then in comes a hand, knocks the ball out. No one's able to touch this guy. Ball gets knocked out, and then all you see behind him is darkness and a lightning flash across the eyes, and then you realize it's the main character now in the zone, and they go at it for the next like two episodes, and it's just awesome.
Oh, that, all right. That does sound pretty cool. I feel like that's similar to Haikyuu, which didn't make the list, but in having that sort of taking a sport and elevating it to that shonen level.
That's how I see it.
Well, that is great. I am now going to bring us way, way back to a little show named Rurouni Kenshin. And we're talking Season 2, Episode 3, Batosai the Manslayer. Okay, so the episode I picked is specifically when Kenshin faces off against Saito. No, not Shishio, not somebody else. Saito is the fight that is so hype for me. This is the original, the remake. Made some choices that I didn't love. But what I love about it is you have this former enemy. You have these beautiful visuals. For me, it's this dark purple setting, and you have Kenshin, who has been just this lovable goof in a way, a very peaceful Ronin, just wandering samurai, and suddenly he is snapped back into that Batosai the Manslayer. His eyes become golden, very inverse of his usual kind of violet eyes, and they just face off in a dojo. So good.
I mean, I fully agree. I think the Shishio fight is probably a better fight per se, but this is definitely more of that hype moment of you, of transitioning you into what the new arc is going to be, and definitely gets you more ramped up for it. So from pure hype perspective, this is the fight.
Exactly. This is where I think you really get to see why they are tasking him to go get Shishio. Like, you get to see not just like a glimmer of like an attack, but like he is out for blood. So yeah. Oh, I loved it. And like I said, the remake, it's getting a season two. If you want to watch it, go ahead. It is a shot for shot remake, but I personally like the visuals of the last, or of the original, I should say. So that's my preference. But let's go sticking kind of with our old shonen hat on. Let's talk about some Yu Yu Hakusho. This will be from season 2, episode 5, Dragon of the Darkness Flame. And thank God for Raggedy, because I was struggling to remember what the hell this attack is because it's so wordy. But this is Hiei's attack. And this is during the first round of the Dark Tournament against Zuru. Is that how we say that guy's name?
I think it's more like Zero. Listen, he's a loser. He's zero.
He literally is zero. And why is that? Because Hiei opens up this third eye. He's going to break out this Dragon of the Darkness Flame. And when he uses it, he obliterates Zero into a wall. Pure ash, nothing left of his opponent. Just, you're kind of on the edge of your seat, like, oh, okay, that just happened, and that sets a tone with Hiei now.
It's great. It sets the tone with Hiei. It sets him up also great for later in the tournament too, because it becomes this recurring thing of, can he control it? Can he master it? Which he does eventually do for later, yeah. Which is, again, another hype moment with this exact same attack later in the tournament. But you know, when you see something for the first time, something that it's unexpected, there's two ways to look at hype. There's the, you know, I know this is coming build to it, where, you know, similar to what Rurouni Kenshin, like, you've seen him be a little bit of the Batosai. You kind of knew what that looked like, and then you got to really see it. Or you have this, where you had no idea what was going on. You saw, you know, flames going up, hair flying everywhere, and then you saw what it actually was, and it just kind of blows you away.
That's an excellent way to put it. And it's not that hype can't be categorized into other things or into other sort of subcategories, but I like that. It's either a buildup and you're finally getting that release, or it's something that catches you completely off guard and you weren't expecting it. And this is absolutely that latter.
And then I'm actually going to take us then into our number 7 pick from Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann, which for this is episode 8 is specifically what I'm talking about. This is, for those who don't know, especially for this one, the big time spoilers. This is Kamina's last stand. This is a lot of those moments that kind of made Kamina, the character, sort of live on in the collective shonen weeb consciousness. You know, it some of those, like his best lines, the "let me see you grit those teeth," when he, you know, knocks some sense into Simone, when he tells Simone, you know, don't believe in yourself, or he tells him to believe in yourself, not you who believes in me, not me who believes in you, but tells him, you know, you need to believe in yourself. And then just the over the top hype screaming of the Giga Drill Break, and the classic line of the just, who the hell do you think we are? It's just, it's hype after hype after hype with it. And then Kamina dies, which is kind of crazy that this is like the zenith of his sort of life.
Talk about unexpected too. This one caught me completely off guard. I was not expecting him to die at all. I thought he would just go to the end and subverted my expectations, but in a meaningful way.
It is a perfect representation of, you know, because Kamina, his whole thing is about being a man and being manly. And, you know, it's one of the nice things about better written shonen, like Gurren Lagann, is that it, you know, a worser shonen takes a what does it mean to be a man in a worse way of, you know, violence and of, you know, kind of putting people down and these like sort of stereotypical ways. Whereas Gurren Lagann takes it more of the believing in yourself, the confidence, the strength, the sharing with your comrades kind of route. And it all sort of culminates in this perfect example of manliness.
Oh, this is a good one. This was almost like tearjerker moment too, because it, kind of hits you in the feels. It's real deep. As well. So an excellent, excellent pick. Man, going from emotional to another let's go hype moment. Number six, Power of the Sun. Hinokama Kagura. This is from Demon Slayer, season one, episode 19. For those who don't know, I will die on the hill that I love Demon Slayer, and it is an amazing anime. People want to talk about how basic it is, and I don't care. I love it. And this episode, specifically this moment, really sends it home. So this is Tanjiro versus Ryu. And this is where you get to see the sun breathing. Beautiful, everything. I don't even know where to start because it's just so beautiful visually. The music sets the tone.
It's a great. I'm trying. I don't
really
need
hard.
To put words in your mouth, but if you'll let me, I have a few I'd like to add. So, this is the episode that broke the internet, right? This is like one of those, like, Twitter exploded back when it was, you know, still a usable website. This episode made it unusable for that short period of time because everyone was kind of losing their minds. This is the episode that kind of put Demon Slayer on the map a little bit, at least over here, more so in the West, in the non like anime community. Like it kind of put it on more people's general radars, which was, you know, that tells you a little bit of how hype of a moment it was. You know, and the visuals are great. The fact that this is your first time really seeing one of the 12 Kizuki, like kind of that, like, oh, this is the danger, yes, that we're going to see coming forward in the show, as well as the nice combination between Tanjiro and Nezuko combining to almost defeat Rui. I'm not going to give them all credit because obviously they don't actually win the fight, but still.
Mm-hmm. Get close. We get close, but I like that you point out Nezuko because a lot of people say, well, she just, you know, seems either worthless or useless. And it's like, no, she actually has a purpose and she has these similar powers. It's just on the demon side, which is fascinating and will come back around eventually to certain important things. But gosh, I think you're right, though. This broke the internet. There were memes made about this.
It was everywhere. This was good. You know, going from one basic show to another, and there's nothing wrong with basic. Basic is basic for a reason because it's good. People like things that are good. So another basic, basic show, this. Our number five pick from My Hero Academia, season 3, episode 11, The United States of Smash. When
Smash! You know,
again, this is another one of those, like, was everywhere all over the internet when it first came out. This is one of those great build-up ones where you spend a few episodes on the Bakugo rescue and how are they going to do this and, like, all of the things and all of the pro heroes coming in. And, you know, that moment where they save Bakugo in and of itself is a super hype moment. But then All For One shows up, and this is this force that's been kind of in the background of the entire series. You know how strong theoretically he is, right? You know what level of threat he is, but now you actually see him, see what he can do, how he just wipes the floor with the pro heroes. And then in comes All Might, and you know All Might from the first two seasons is not doing so hot. So watching him fight and struggle and just seeing those last embers of One For All in him kind of fade out and being used for that last final punch. The music is great. It's animated so well. I can't get over the triple shot that they do of the super close up on All For One's face getting smashed into the ground, then to the zoom out of just their bodies so you can see that like impact immediately around them of like what that physicality looks like, and then the super zoom out of how huge of a dent it makes in the ground is just awesome. And of course gets finished off with All Might standing there one last time going into big mode to pump his fist in the air. It hits so hard.
It really does. And everyone watching this fight live, how we've only ever heard like the, you know, Detroit Smash, I think is one of them. Like it's all these little areas in the United States. So to have United States Smash, you knew it was going to be big. And They went all out. You're right. This is one of those few songs that still makes it on my workout playlist because it just pumps you
it's up. It's hard so to come back from getting hit with the weight of an entire country.
That's true. That's true. But I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure we'll find a way.
This is hype. Stick with the hype.
Yeah, stick with the hype. Well, speaking of hype, number four, Bleach, and we're talking Thousand Year Blood War. I could have gone with old Bleach. I probably should have, but I have to drop this so people go and watch Thousand Year Blood War. Go watch a recap, then come join me in this watching adventure. I love it. It's so beautiful. And the hype moment for me is when the reinforcements arrive. And by that, I mean Ichigo. He is falling from the sky. We have a new outfit. He has gone through training. He is ready to go. And he is here to save his friends. It's everything you love in Shonen is when the hero finally comes back in and is here to just save the day.
It's great. And Bleach has done it a few times. The first one, when he first comes to the Soul Society, the first time he does Bankai is super hype. Of course, I think the thing that, you know, after mulling over it a little bit when we were first discussing this list, that made me kind of say, no, this is the hyper moment, is that the reaction of everyone else around him, because this is now so far into the Bleach timeline that Ichigo's name carries weight with it. He's like the special war threat, where when he shows up in Soul Society the first time, everyone's like, who the hell is this guy? Okay. Like, whatever. He does Bankai, and then you get kind of that like, oh, moment, right? But then for Thousand Year Blood War, he shows up, he lands, and everyone is immediately on high alert. You feel the tension from the enemy side the second he shows up.
And you feel a sense of relief for his friends and specifically for captains and vice captains who he has fought along the way and who he has not necessarily been more powerful than. It's so, so good. Oh, man. Speaking of people, though, that
I think we need to blast too fast through the Bleach one, because the Bleach one is very good, but...
But that's just our plug.
Exactly.
Go watch it. Come join us. Go watch the Thousand Year
Blood War. But let's go back. We'll go back a little bit to another oldie but a goodie. This one, our number three pick, is coming from Naruto episode 48. This is when, I mean, I don't even know why I have to spoiler tag this one. Everyone knows this one. This is when Rock Lee drops the training weights. It's one of those moments where even just saying that out loud, my heart's already starting to like pump faster just thinking about it, because.
Taking me back to those like anime music videos where you would just watch the anime music video to see that scene.
The dropping the training weights is an old trope. It's a very, very popular shonen trope. It's been done in others before this. It has never been done better than this, in my opinion, because some of the other ones, it's the classic, like, oh, they're just slowly taking it off, and you kind of hear a little thud, and you see how heavy it is, and then they bop around, and you see, oh, they're moving lighter, so it gives you the idea. But the effect of him fighting so well, and then has to be, and he's holding back against the, you know, realistically the number one seed of the Chunin exam, you know, against Gaara. Everyone knows how strong Gaara is, and he's intentionally holding back until Mike Guy tells him, no, it's time. He jumps on top of the statue, pulls off the weights. Everyone's like, yeah, he uses weights, whatever. And then
big deal.
Leaves two giant craters in the ground. And then it's not the like tap around. It's instant speed. And you watch Gaara flailing like a confused child. It's so hype.
It's so good. And I mean, you have to watch the whole moment. You can't just watch like Gaara flailing around and be like, oh, I'm done. You have to watch when he makes contact. Oh, when like Rock Lee makes contact with Gaara, it's just so chef's kiss of like, oh,
there you go.
This has weight.
Beautiful pun. Love it.
Weight
love
and to see meaning it. To it.
You know, it's such a great moment, and it's also so good because, you know, you look at Rock Lee and you look at him as like this goofy kid. You get that they're going for a Bruce Lee kind of vibe, but you know, he's got the silly bowl cut. He's got the goofy eyebrows. He's got the silly cost. Yeah. He looks so silly. And
eyebrows.
This is the moment where you realize, oh no, this kid will mess you up.
And the fact that we don't have to say it if you've seen Naruto, like, he doesn't have anything else. He just has his body. He doesn't have any sort of those, like, magical abilities. He's not even really good at weapons or anything. Like, this is all he can do.
Rock Lee came to throw hands, and he throws some fucking hands. Oh, man. But.
I do love that our list, I'm noticing, is so much compromised of can they punch something? Can they punch something? And
yeah,
I guess the reason why I'm saying that please. Is for a number two moment, if you're okay with me moving on to it. We can't talk about punching, folks, unless we talk One Punch Man. Specifically, we're talking season one, episode 11, It's Time to Get Serious, with our boy. Yes, it is. It is time for Serious Punch from Saitama. It's so good. Throughout the whole series, you have been getting just these like tastes of what he can do. And basically what he can do is punch things with just one punch. And he doesn't take it very seriously. I mean, one of my favorite episodes, and I love this series. I will tell you, like, this is the series I turn on when I'm sick in bed and I just need to. People want cozy shows. I want One Punch Man. I want somebody to literally punch things into the ground. But you get a taste for it, like, between the mosquito fight. Sometimes when he has dreams remembering, like, what it was like before he got so good at what he does. But I put this one on here, and I know you heavily agreed with me, so that's why I made it easily into number two. When he's fighting Boros, alien from another world, coming and looking for somebody. He's looking for his final opponent who he can actually take seriously. And
yeah, no, he
is that guy.
Saitama is him.
So good.
First off, of course. But it's just so great, too, because, like, you know, it's a little bit of what we talked about earlier, right? It's that it's some of the best hype moments are that where you get that little bit of drip feed of, like, peaks into what something could be, and then the final reveal, right? So throughout the entire series, because this is the last episode of the first season, right, where it's like you see him beat these things pretty easily. They're played off as like kind of goofy moments, so you know he's strong. It's obvious, but there's always that little tingling thought in the back of your head of what if he actually tried? What would that look like? And you watch him just split the sky and smear Boros across the side of his spaceship.
It's so good. And on top of it, at the very end, Boros, like, for me, I think that's why this is so hype, is it's this cool moment. The music, again, we can talk about music for days, but this is another one where that music is just an earworm that you're ready to go. But at the very end, having Boros say, were you even serious? And he just walks away. And you know that there's more to Saitama. Like, sure, he threw a serious punch or consecutive serious punches, but like it's not anything. He could do more, and he just can't. No one can take him.
I think before we get into our number one, I think we can quickly run through a few honorable mentions that we had. Maybe not go into detail, but just we'll let you know a few of the ones that almost just barely missed our list.
All right, yeah. I'm gonna start with a few of mine that I had thrown on there for us to talk about, but we didn't get to. The arrival of the Gung-Ho Gubs from Trigun. El Diablo is the episode title. Go look it up. It's great. Another one that I know I threw on here was Roy Mustang's Revenge from Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood. Yeah,
I mean, another so sports good. One that I think could fit is easily the first together. Time we see the Dempsey roll from Hajime no Ippo when Ippo wins his title with that. That's great. One from Fairy Tail that always I remember is when Urza fights 100 monsters in the Magic Games, which another great, you know, it's a little too long to explain, but if you have the time and you want to know, if you know nothing else about Fairy Tail, look up that moment alone, and that kind of gives you a good picture of it. But without further ado, I think it's time. So drum roll.
Yeah.
Officially.
Drum roll, everyone.
Stamp
number
it.
One.
Shonen Showdown approved. Number one hypest moment of all time. It could go to nothing else other than that time when Sakura cut her hair to free herself from the Sound Ninja. I mean, what a moment. I mean, nothing tops it. No, it's cool. It's clearly the best.
Are you sure nothing tops it?
Obviously, I'm messing with it. Oh God, it's such a lame moment because it's meant to be a hype moment too. It's just so sad. But no. Emery, I'll let you tell the fine people what our actual number one is.
God, it has to be the legendary Super Saiyan. We would not have this list of hype moments without Dragon Ball Z episode 95's Super Saiyan. This is when Goku finally achieves it. It's been whispered, it's been rumored. We finally get to see it. And
literally golden and glorious.
It is, and I think, golden, you know, and glorious.
People might hear this and they might think to themselves, yeah, Super Saiyan, yeah, it's super cool. But what I want everyone to think about, take yourselves back in time before the idea of a Super Saiyan was this, you know, known property that everyone kind of, you know, your grandma knows what a Super Saiyan is. But go back in time. It's the 90s. You're watching Dragon Ball Z. All you know is, you know what a Saiyan is, kind of. You know they're aliens and they're strong. You know Vegeta has been chirping about being the legendary Super Saiyan for the last, you know, 40 plus episodes. You know, it's the only thing that Frieza, this monster that you've been watching kick everyone's butts for the last, you know, 20 episodes, even remotely fears. But you have no idea what this thing is. It's meaningless to you. And then it's so perfect because the second it happens, you know exactly what it is, right? Because you're sitting there and Vegeta's like, I am now the Super Saiyan. I am now the, and you're like, is he? Maybe, I guess so. He's the only one who seems to know what it is. But the second that Goku turns golden and you lose his inner monologue and you see the aura and the lightning, it just hits you like a ton of bricks. This is a Super Saiyan and this thing is fucking scary.
Oh, it's so good because you have Goku, who's normally this kind of silly goofball, or I wouldn't say whiny, but like he's more of a gentle spirit, dead serious, serious green eyes for some reason. But you're right. You knew it to your core. And we could have picked other Super Saiyan moments, Super Saiyan 2 or others. But this one, like I said, this is what defined the shonen genre for me. Like this led to all of the power levels, what we have listed before, everything that came after is thanks to Dragon Ball Z, and I think thanks to Super Saiyan specifically.
It's a legendary moment, not just within the show itself. It's a legendary moment within anime. It's, you know, part of what I hope we can accomplish with talking about shonen is giving an idea to sort of the snob, against the snobby view of like, oh, well, you know, this is art and we need to, you know, have this kind of like special kind of writing and we need to make sure the animation is super top notch or otherwise it's not worth thinking about or talking about. But understanding what Dragon Ball Z, what the Super Saiyan moment did for anime in the West, for exploding anime, you know, it was that golden age came from the golden Super Saiyan, right? And seeing it happen in real time was hype. Going back and rewatching it is hype. Going and watching them do it every single other time that they've done it is hype. When Super Saiyan 3 for the first time, even that, think about the first time you saw Super Saiyan 3 and you were like, you know, 12 and you ran to the computer and you like Google searched Super Saiyan 27 and saw that meme picture of Goku with hair extending like 45 feet and you're like, oh my God, this is so cool. And yeah, it's a little lame if you think about it, but why are you thinking about it? Just have fun with it.
Yeah, that's what shonen is.
Have more fun.
Just big dumb fun. Have fun. Why aren't you having fun?
And speaking of fun, I think we have some plans next time for a little bit of fun. So on that note, why don't you lead us out?
Yeah, well, everyone, remember, the glory of shonen can be yours for the taking if you just believe it. So set sail and join us for the next episode where we're going to be playing 20 questions, shonen edition. Is 20 truly better than 10? Find out next time on Shonen Showdown.